I'm going to ask, I would like to rearrange our seating tonight. I was trying to think how to do this. I would like for us to sit a bit segregated and categorized, maybe I would say. Let's have all the ladies sit on this side and the men on this side. And then we'll have the ministry men sit here on the front. And we'll have married men. Let's say this. Men who are heads of home. Married men, fathers, whatever, sitting here behind the ministry team. But what I'm doing, I'm going to be doing some reading, and I would like to be able to look at the group I'm addressing. So that's why I'm doing all this. So let's have the ministry team sit on the front row, the married men sit behind them, and then the youth behind them. And the children, you can sit with your dads, moms, whatever, however you feel comfortable doing that. The same over here, except we don't need the ministry wives up here necessarily, but let's have the married women towards the front and the younger people behind. Where are Sheldon's? Sheldon's? Where are they? Well, Craig's and Chad's are here. Maybe the other side. Okay, thank you. My message tonight is entitled Missionaries, Witnesses, and Priests. First of all, we'll look at missionaries. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You don't need to be turning to these. I'm going to be reading, moving through this, so just simply listen. Another thing I would like for you to think, especially later, we're going to be reading in 1 Peter. I would like for us to try to imagine, every one of these books of the Bibles that we have is a letter. Well, let's see. Most of them are letters. The epistles are letters written to someone. So there was a time, sometime, somewhere, for each one of these letters. Probably there was a time when it was a setting very similar to this, and someone says, hey, we've got a letter from Paul. We're going to read this letter to all of you. So I want us to try to get in our minds that that's a little bit what we're doing tonight. We've received a letter, and I'm going to read it to you, and you will receive instruction from that letter in how to carry on. So first of all, we're called to be missionaries. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Chad this morning talked about, he works in Southeast Asia. Now he's in Malaysia. I don't want any of us, and Chad, we were talking about this earlier. I feel that we as a congregation do well. And we hear from those that come home, hearing, talking to Chad, talking to whoever, Gina and Diana, or whoever it might be, they feel like we do well at supporting those who are out. And I commend you for that. I bless you for that. And I'm really glad that I can say that. However, let's not take the fact that we do well at supporting them and make that that's my fulfillment of the Great Commission. I don't go, but I send that check. Or I make that phone call. Or I support those who go. That's great, and that's good and it's necessary, but it's not all that we are about. We also are to be missionarying here. If Chad were to go to Malaysia and you would get word, or he would give a report, that all they do is live exactly the way you do, would you feel they are worth supporting where they're at? Or would you say, I thought they went there to be missionaries, not just whatever it is? Are you, am I, missionarying where I'm at? Okay, Jesus came speaking to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So there's where we are given the commandment to be missionaries. We are to be witnesses. In Acts 1, verse 6 through 9, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, this is the disciples, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So there we have the it's not so much a commandment, but Jesus telling them, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he's saying, you shall be witnesses unto me locally, expanded, and worldwide. So our first responsibility is local, and then beyond that, and then worldwide. Let's not hang our hat on the fact that we support the missionaries overseas when we do not share the gospel with our neighbor. We must be doing both. And then I want to look a little bit at what it's like, or what it means to bring someone into the congregation, or what it means to work with people in the congregation. I'll just go ahead and read this. Matthew 8, this is talking about Jesus. When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. This is recorded in Matthew 8. It's also recorded in Mark 1:44 and Luke 5:14, where he says, go thy way, show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. What was that gift? What was he supposed to do? We read that, and the next verse says, and Jesus, when he came into Capernaum, I didn't have enough time left. I'm not sure what Jesus had to go through. Because we think of Jesus as being New Testament. Jesus followed the Mosaic Law, mostly. There were some things that the Pharisees had added in, but Jesus followed the law. And he probably had to do some ritualistic cleansing after having touched that leper. Again, it doesn't say that. We don't know that, but probably he did. But it does say that he told him, go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. I'm going to read what God had said that they should do. It's not a simple little thing. And I want us to be thinking, as we read this, I want us to be thinking about the fact that we as a brotherhood have a responsibility to work with each other I'm going to look at a little bit later here. We're going to, the verse that I mentioned last Sunday in my message, Proverbs 25:4 says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." Every man has some silver in there. We all also have some dross that needs to be taken away. The dross is the impurities. And I want us, as we look at this, what this priest does, I want us to be thinking about working with an individual to rid him of sin. Not in any way in a spirit of condemnation. Not in any way I'm better than you. But a working together in realizing that things need to be dealt with. So this is what it says in Leviticus 14. This is what it says, that this simple little phrase, "Go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded." This is what it took. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive, and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean." And we think they're done, but they're not. "And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes. Also, he shall wash his flesh in water and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil. And wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean." We read, "Go your way, offer what Moses said." And that's, we just assume that he went and maybe gave a lamb or did something. There was a very elaborate ritual that had to be gone through. I think that it's easy for us as... Can you imagine the priest going to this guy and say, "Why were you so careless to start with? How'd you get leprosy? You had to be with somebody else that had it or something." Can you imagine him doing that? We don't get at all that the priest came out and says, "Oh, here's my job. I got to do it. Okay, let's see. What did he say? Let's do this next." We don't catch that at all. I'm sure there were priests that didn't have the right attitude. But in general, the priest was doing that. And why? What was the reason? This wasn't something that God just made up to see if they would do it. What was the reason for this elaborate ritual that they went through? They went through the ritual, a part of the ritual, and then they waited 7 days, shaved off all his hair, washed his clothes, washed him. What was the reason?
Make sure he was
cured. Make sure he was cured. Sin is often compared to leprosy. Leprosy is often a representative of sin. The priest was taking some risk here. But the priest was also, in a sense, a shield between the leprosy and the camp. And the priest, imagine the priest that would have said, okay, I see one little spot there, but we're not going to tell anybody about it. It'll be all right. Because you're my buddy. You can't do that. So again, there should never be a spirit of condemnation because someone has the leprosy. But neither do we overlook the leprosy in order to make that individual feel welcome in his tent. It takes work, and this is where we are to be priests. Take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The fact I already mentioned, every man has some silver. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Man is made in the image of God. Every man has some real value, has some silver in there. Every man also has some dross. But we as a people, this would be kind of my theme verse tonight, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, now, I've said that we are to be missionaries, we are witnesses, and we are priests. Now I would like to read 1 Peter. And again, I would like for you to, this is where I'd really like for you to engage your minds as, have you ever thought about the audacity it takes to stand here and presume to speak on behalf of God? Tonight I'm going to be reading from the Scriptures, but I want us to try to imagine that Peter himself, Jesus himself, God himself, because it is inspired Scripture, is talking to you, to me. This is the first time we've heard this, and we're going to see what he has to say. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. By the way, I'm reading from the New King James. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And that word gird, we tend to think of it as putting a strap on, and that's part of it. But it also would mean reinforcing or bracing. You know, somebody's going to run into you, you're going to get ready. That's the idea. Gird up, brace up, get ready. And a man especially, brace up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace or the strengthening that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in, for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You know, we have a really good illustration of that right now. How many flowering trees do you still see with good flowers? 2 weeks ago, everything was vibrant. And it's gone. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. Can I have these fans turned on, please? Therefore, going on into chapter 2, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone. I thought about having a stone up here, but we'll have to picture this. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, A royal priesthood. You know, we've heard this so many times, but imagine that you're hearing this for the first time. You, in 2018, are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called to be a witness. We often think of witnessing as telling someone about Jesus, and that's true. But we are to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready. Here's being a witness again. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation or the same flood of excess, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I just feel like there is a lot of things here for us to consider. All of you know that, or most of you know, that this thing of men leading their homes, of fathers taking their jobs seriously, of us being biblical men of God. All of you know, I talk about that from time to time. Most of you know I also fail at that pretty consistently. I do not want to come across at all as someone who has attained. I for sure have not. But I guess I would really like for us to catch a vision what Mark shared here a couple weeks ago about kids club, about Bible school, about some of that. I don't want to excuse myself or the ministry team from our responsibilities to be involved with the day-to-day work here at the church. But I also want to I agree with what Mark said. We see a lot of churches, and there's a lot of pressure sometimes to create the kind of Sunday morning service that will evangelize the town, will draw in the unsaved. And maybe even the fact that the preacher ought to be out there bringing people in. And again, I'm not excusing the ministry. I feel very strongly that we all, none of us are excluded from the responsibility to share Christ with our neighbors, with those we come in contact with, and even to go out of our way. It's not just, Lord, bring somebody to my front door today. Pray for opportunities. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to fill up with gas at the pump, whatever it might be, Lord, Give me opportunities and help me to see those opportunities. I believe that we all have that responsibility. But I also believe that the people who will come in the front door and come back again the next Sunday are not the ones that come in off the street and like the service enough that they come back again. They're going to be your neighbor that you invited to church and that you've got a relationship with. They're going to be your coworker that sees something in you that he shares his personal struggles with and realizes that you have some answers that he needs. And our responsibility as a ministry is we're to be shepherds. The congregation should be doing battle every day. The congregation should come to church needing encouragement in their struggles, needing refreshment and support and all of that. That is our primary responsibility. And again, I'm not at all saying that it's not our responsibility to reach our neighbors, but primarily, it is your responsibility to be the missionaries and the witnesses and the priests in the community. It is our responsibility to minister to you as you do that. So this whole thing of take away the dross from the silver and there comes forth a vessel for the finer. Am I willing, and are you willing, to accept someone with a little bit of dross on them as being someone who has real value? And then also being willing to hear your brother say, my brother say, you know what, I see that silver, but I also see some dross. This is a concern that I have. And that doesn't come easily. It's not easy to speak to someone in that. But the way that I respond to that is going to have a big effect on whether that person is willing to say something the next time. Let's learn to look for the silver in others. Let's learn to admit to the dross that's here in my own life. Any thoughts? I'll open it up to you, all of you. I thank you for coming. I just trust the Lord can use the reading of His Word. I feel like there's sometimes when we feel that we need to improve on it somehow. We need to say something or do something. And I don't want to just be lazy. But as I was preparing, I just felt like the more I read, the more it just didn't need a whole lot of help from me. So thank you for coming. Are there any announcements or anything that need to be made?